there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All these guys who run these organizations who talk about analytics, they have one thing in common. They're a bunch of guys who ain't never played the game, and they never got the girls in high school, and they just want to get to the game.
Welcome to VSiN's Hardwood Handicappers.
As you guys look at me, you see the backwards hat, the gray socks, the funky outfit, and you say, now this guy's a chump, am I right?
No, f***ing geek.
Now here's your host, Jonathan Von Tobel.
Welcome in, second hour, Hardwood Handicappers. We will get to handicapping the hardwood in this hour, we promise. We do have a Wild PGA Championship. We have a playoff underway. For those who are just joining us, to set the scene very quickly, Juan Mito Pereira, Chilean golfer who is on his way to becoming the first Chilean golfer to win a major, collapses on the 18th hole, finds the water, about a foot-long strip of water that you can only find, goes driver, finds it. He ends up... falling back two strokes. So Justin Thomas and Will Zalatoris are in a playoff right now in the PGA Championship. It is a three-hole aggregate. As we were going through it, I'll let you present the numbers here, Wes. If you're going off of performance in this tournament, in these holes, it is Will Zalatoris who's got a pretty good edge here.
And before I do get to that, by the way, just to kind of put a cap on Mito Pereira, we're not rubbing salt in the wound here if you had him.
Close your ears, Brian.
Had a big number. We know one of our crack staff here at VSiN, one of our contributors, Will Hill, also had a ticket on Mito Pereira. He was just DMing me on the Twitter machine. To start the day in terms of win probability, this is per Data Golf, and you could follow them on Twitter at Data Golf. Mito Pereira was 51% to go ahead and win this Wanamaker Trophy at the PGA Championship. Will Zalatoris, 14.6%. Justin Thomas, 1.2%. to start the day. And he was only put out there at 33-1. So it's like the true probability, you're probably getting cheated if you bet those odds, honestly, on Justin Thomas. But back to what you were leading in with, three-hole aggregate, as you mentioned, this par 5, 13th. Advantage Willie Z, by the way. He is down the middle. Justin Thomas hit the right rough off the tee. Will Zalatoris, minus 3 so far this week on this par 5, 13th. Justin Thomas, only even par. These par 5s, only two of them on this course that play around 650 yards apiece, give or take a few yards. These are not birdie holes. These are not guaranteed holes to reach the green and two like we see most weeks. In fact, it's been a three-shot hole for pretty much almost the entire field. So Will Zalatoris, the advantage on the par 5, go to the 17th, which is drivable par 4, 302 yards it's playing to from the tee to the stick today. Will Zalatoris minus 3, Justin Thomas minus 2, and then you get to number 18, that tough par 4, Justin Thomas even par for the week, Will Zalatoris 1 over.
All right, and last on Mito Pereira, who has met with the media, tells him, quote, on 18, I wasn't even thinking about the water. I just wanted to put it into play. I was really nervous. I tried to handle it a little bit, but it's really tough. I thought I was going to win on 18, but it is what it is. So we'll see what is going to happen on these playoff holes. So with that, we'll keep an eye on the playoff holes. We won't follow it stroke to stroke. There's a wild finish. Kind of had to do it there. Let's transition, because we do have less than an hour before tip between Golden State and Dallas. So to update what's going on here from a line perspective, as the Dallas Mavericks are back at home after a 2-0 series hole, and this is where I think the market's kind of getting a little out of hand with the situation here, Wes. team bettors love the down 2-0 going back home.
Oh yeah,
and it's not just first quarter, first half. They just love the teams.
Yeah,
in general.
And you and I have both played it over the years, as has Matt Humans, who joined us at the end of last hour, because it's a great situation. I was saying 36-12 against the number for that first half team, but it's, you know, it's something you always like to say. If you know it, they know it. The odds makers absolutely know this, so they are going to tax you to the moon if they're going to make you lay this. So you are not getting a bargain in the number.
Man, but the market just won't stop. Dallas up to a 3.5-point favorite for the game. They are a 3.5-point favorite over at the Westgate in the first half. And in the first quarter at this point right now, laying 2.5 in multiple shops, including the one we're sitting at right now here, the Circa Sportsbook. And this is pretty wild, because you look at this right now in this postseason, we have had six situations. We have six times where the team is down 2-0. In this postseason alone, you're 3-3 straight up, 3-3 against the spread in those games. So not a lot of value there. If you hit at 50%, you're down if you played all of these situations because of the VIG, obviously. And what my problem with situations like this is, to paint the picture of why you're not getting any value, it's really clear that these aren't true lines. Go to a couple of examples, right? Like Denver, they go down 2-0 West. They go back home for game three. They're just catching three. They lose and they fail to cover that game. Game four, Warriors are a 5-point favorite. Brooklyn, down 2-0, goes back home. They're a 4-point favorite in game three. Lose, don't cover. They're a 1-point favorite in game four. Toronto and Philly, there's a lot of noise there because of injuries and whatnot, but Philly, 2-point favorite in game three, ultimately a 3-point favorite in game four. But the biggest difference was, how about this? Dallas themselves, when they went down 2-0 to Phoenix, they came back home. They were a 1.5-point favorite in game three, closed as a 3-point underdog in game four after winning game three. And that tells you that you're not getting any value in some of these numbers. I mean, it's very clear.
Plus, when you take out the point spread and obviously all the trends too, the numbers would indicate, okay, maybe this could be the quote-unquote spot for Dallas. Because if you look, the Warriors' offensive rating at home, I think 119.8 is what I read, but it drops to 108.7 on the road. Meanwhile, Dallas much better at home on defense in the playoffs, 118.4 on the road, 102.4 at home. So, look, you're obviously getting those numbers accounted for, plus what you talk about with the betting patterns. And, yeah, you absolutely are getting cheated in terms of the pure numbers, so you got to dictate, okay, do we want to play the situation or do we want to play the line here? And that's really hard. And that's why I didn't end up doing it. And look, I may leave winners off the table. Maybe it gets there easy and I overthink this. But Dallas, I do think coming back home, you would think just on the surface, they're going to play a little bit better. I thought, and look, they played great in the first half at Golden State. What was it? Was it 72 to 59 or something in the first half? They were up double digits game two. Yep. And then all of a sudden, they couldn't do anything in the third quarter. And I was looking and seeing old Spencer Dinwiddie. He was really struggling in that game too. And it was like I was watching Shark Tank and Mark Cuban sitting there and goes, I'm out in terms of playing him any more minutes, because I thought he really struggled. Brunson and Doncic tried to carry him. But really, the ancillary players, Maxi Kleber and those guys, just did not have a very good game. And the Warriors, Kevin Looney, he has been an absolute revelation, I think, not only in game number two, but also the closeout game against Memphis. Just a hustler all over the floor.
Yeah, the biggest thing here for me when you look at this, and it's been, you know, if you're Dallas, it sounds very simple, but you got to make some of your shots. In game one, expected to score 16 more points on shot quality numbers, 23% better on offense. That doesn't happen, right? And if you look at some of the other numbers in terms of, like, their three-point shooting, the Mavericks have been a catch-and-shoot, drive-and-kick, catch-and-shoot type of team. Mm-hmm. But in this series, up to this point through two games, 32.8% on catch-and-shoot three-point attempts compared to 41.3% in the first two rounds of the postseason. The massive difference.
Right.
You got to hit your catch-and-shoot opportunities. They're taking about one more pull-up jumper from beyond the arc per game as opposed to what they did in the first two rounds. So just kind of create more in isolation as opposed to going within the flow of your offense. And that's been the big deal here, is you got to be able to hit your shots. The first game, they weren't going down. And in the second game, if you look at some of the shot quality metrics, it's been nuts what Golden State has been able to do. How about this? According to Cleaning the Glass, Golden State has an effective field goal percentage of 64.3% in this series so far. But their location effective field goal percentage, what the team's percentage, Wes, would be if it's shot league average from each location, is 51.1%.
Yeah.
They've just been making really tough shots. So you would assume that in a foreign venue, that maybe that efficiency on tight windows, tough shots comes down a little bit, going back to the numbers you referenced for Golden State at home.
Yeah, because it seems like Dallas, look, what their plan is basically is to take you know, and I've been saying it throughout the playoffs. It's like, okay, let's take 43s and see if we can make 16 of them. We got a good chance. We shoot 40%. And that's kind of like what they have to do. It's kind of like how Boston has been playing, especially in that semifinal series against Milwaukee, where you were so, I think, undersized. Now, they were undersized against Phoenix. I don't know how much more they're undersized, really, against Golden State, because Kevin Looney, even though he's a center, he is not what you think of a true center, like a true postman. And it's just amazing. It just says, you know, how this league is playing. This is a different NBA than I grew up with, JVT. You were a young man back there in the 90s, and I being a teenager. And it was all about play through the post, play through Shaq, play through Hakeem, play through Robinson or Ewing. You just don't see that anymore. It's just, you got to take 45 threes and see if you can make, you know, 18 or 19 of them.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, because you bring up Looney. I was going through some of the, you know, the player props, point totals, things like that. And if you're the Dallas Mavericks, and if you're going to start to continue to trap a Steph Curry, double him off of screens, things like that, Looney's been great in this series. 10 points in the first game, 21 in the second. It's been coming off of slipping and rolling. Like, this could be another game in which he is pretty big. If you're going to continue down this path of, we just got to get the ball out of Steph Curry's hands, it's going to open up the floor for a guy like Looney, and has for the first two games.
Yeah, absolutely. And just the hustle. I mean, he was that Memphis game where, you know, Memphis lost by double digits in that game six. It's like, how did they lose this game? They just got out hustled. He got every rebound and just beat them to the ball. And, you know, Dallas, I think that they know what they have to do. And look, I gave them a chance to win this series. I did not bet the series prize, but I gave them a chance because I thought, you know, Golden State's a little bit vulnerable, but the third quarter Warriors phenomena, I still think is like a thing here. And you're going to see that obviously already priced to the moon. And they came out in the third quarter and absolutely took over the game.
All right, update really quickly. We are done with the first playoff hole. Both golfers, birdie, what was that, 13?
Yeah, JT hit a nice little wedge in there to about 4 feet, made birdie. Will Zalatoris actually was on the green in two, had an eagle putt, did not go in, so he goes ahead and taps it in. So one under par. This, by the way, is an aggregate score after three. I believe that it goes in the sudden death after that. I don't think they redo it again and play more aggregate holes. So one under so far on the par 5-13. And Justin Thomas, I believe, he was even par for this week. Like I said, these par fives are not giveaways. These are not the normal birdie holes. When we watch the PGA Tour every week, it's like, okay, driver, wedge, pitch, and putt. You know, that's what it is. This is not the case today.
Man, this is great. All right, so we'll have our eye on that here. Last 60 seconds, this is the other thing that I think has really stuck out because we talk about Dallas defensively. You know, one of the things I wrote down in my notes is, you know, essentially limitations with your defense, because in the last round, Frank Ntilikina was able to play good minutes for you defensively. He's a liability now at this point in this series. You can't put him out there. You need some sort of offense. They tried Josh Green the other day, played 5 minutes. They only got outscored by a point, but he only took one shot. Didn't look really good. And you look at their starting rotation, Dwight Powell, he's in the starting lineup again today, 28 minutes played through two games. He's minus 28. Like there's so many different, like the Warriors, they're not the same Warriors of old,
right?
But they will find the flaws in your roster. And through two games, kid's got some questions to ask. And I don't know if Powell in the starting lineup is the answer, but we'll find out, I guess. All right, we'll come back. We have plenty left to get to. We're on the second playoff hole here. Three-hole aggregate between Will Zalatoris, Justin Thomas. And hey, Wes is here. We also have WNBA talk at the very, very end of the show. I think he's going to enjoy that with Danielle Avari.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
When your child fights sleep, it can feel like a battle you'll never win. Imagine a bedtime routine you all look forward to, where you cuddle in and let the stress of the day melt away. Welcome to Sleep Tight Stories, a calming weekly podcast that brings bedtime stories cuddles, and comfort to families worldwide. The stories are quirky, relatable, and spark wonder without overstimulation, so listeners can fall asleep and stay asleep. Each episode is narrated by me, Cheryl McLeod, a second grade teacher, and written by my husband, Clark, an eternal second grader at heart. Tune in tonight and bond over a story before drifting off to sleep. Make bedtime the sweetest part of your day. Sleep tight stories. Listen to Sleep Tight Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to VSiN's Hardwood Handicappers. Now here's your host, Jonathan Von Tobel.
This segment of Hardwood Handicappers brought to you by Zyn Nicotine Pouches, a fresh way to enjoy nicotine without all the baggage of cigarettes, dip, or vapes. Zyn Nicotine Pouches are smoke-free, spit-free, and available in 10 varieties. They come in two strengths, so you can easily find the satisfaction level that's perfect for you. Zyn, America's number one nicotine pouch, available in over 100,000 locations nationwide, and it's never been easier to find your Zyn. So visit Zyn.com/find, that's ZYN.com/find, to locate a store near you. Warning, product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. All right, real quick update as we are keeping an eye. Wes Reynolds has decided to stick around pretty much for the entire show. Thank you, Wes, as always. We are in a playoff between Will Zalatoris, Justin Thomas, and a more favorable position here for Thomas on the second playoff hole, no?
Yeah, an absolute bullet for Justin Thomas. So he drove the green, so he is going to have an eagle opportunity. Certainly, you would think he's going to get up and down and at least make a birdie. Zalatoris misses the green. So looking at the price here at BetMGM, which is what I have open in front of me, JT minus $3 plus $2. On Will Zalatoris.
Tough for my guy, Willie Z. All right, let's talk a little bit about the Eastern Conference Finals because we had quite the result yesterday. 109-103, the final score. Boston Celtics go down to the Miami Heat in what looked like was going to be a very good situation for them. But before the game, Robert Williams gets ruled out with a knee injury, so that throws a wrench in the entire thing. And they come out, as I texted Matt yesterday, like a team who was already up in the series and had some leeway to work with, and they did not. Jimmy Butler goes down at halftime. And the Heat still stave them off the entire second half. They gain no ground in the third quarter, really. Win the fourth, but it ultimately is all for nothing. They cut it to one point, but then ultimately cannot get back into this game. Wanted to talk about a couple of angles here. First off, here's Ime Udoka after the game talking about the schematic issues and what Miami presented to them in that win.
Guarded with some physicality, or they increased theirs. We also talked about Adebayo been struggling in this series. He's going to come out extra aggressive. Put his head down, we didn't match it. We had been playing physical defense initially and kind of limiting him, obviously, but other guys as well. And for the most part, it felt like they were continually driving. We weren't getting rebounds, and so they out-hustled us 50-50 balls. But it was a concerted effort on their part to put their head down and try to be the more physical team. And
So he mentions Bam Adebayo, who was incredible. How about some of these numbers, Wes? This is from George Sedano over at ESPN. Bam Adebayo's 41 minutes, 30 seconds, the most played this postseason. He attempted a career-high 22 shot attempts. He recorded a 25% usage rate, his highest in the game this postseason. He finished with 82 touches, 72 in the first two games of the series combined, Bam Adebayo. Recorded 13 post-ups and isolations, most in the game this postseason. He was the setter for 14 dribble handoff screens, tied for most in the game this postseason. He set 34 on-ball screens, second most in a game this postseason. And finally, he became the second center to travel at least 3 miles in a game this postseason, joining Carl Anthony Towns.
Wow.
Adebayo was freaking awesome in that game. And was the main reason why they were to overcome the loss of Jimmy Butler.
And we know that Boston lacks size here. They got beat, by the way, to your point about Bam, 48-34 in the PIP, points in the paint. And look, you're seeing that's what happens with Boston. I thought, you know, Udoka made a good adjustment in game two to go small, but it's like they already are small.
Yep.
You know, they're going smaller. It's like, what can you do? Obviously, you got to play Al because Al is the adult in the room. And I think a veteran like that does make a difference for a really young team that's trying to come together. But you just don't have a lot of size down there. I think they played Tice about 11 minutes yesterday. And even then...
And he was starting. Like, I didn't really like him starting.
Yeah,
like,
I didn't either.
You mentioned going small. Like, when they brought Grant Williams on the floor in game one, game two, that changed everything. Mm-hmm. When they went to that smaller lineup, I thought you would roll with that, just given everything and how successful it was.
Yeah, I did too, because I don't think Tice is like... I remember they used to do that, or Brad Stevens used to do that a little bit with Aaron Baines in the previous previous, and our old colleague, I saw a tweet from our old mate Jacob Roach, and he was like, I miss Aaron Baines with the Boston Celtics. And look, Theis just isn't a true like post guy necessarily like Baines is. So yeah, you saw the difference there in points in the paint, but really the difference last night was the turnovers.
Yep.
24 turnovers. Boston was just throwing, I mean, they were throwing it all over the yard last night. So, you know, Miami, of course, takes advantage of that, 33 points off those turnovers. So it'll be interesting to see. I thought, you know, Spo, I also saw Miami go a little bit of zone last night. So
yes,
it's really cool to kind of see what I think are two really good coaches here in Udoka and Spo kind of try to outmaneuver each other.
And like kind of like, as a big basketball fan, that offsets some of these blowouts, watching the schematic changes that some of these coaches will pull out.
Yeah, if you're like a total basketball geek, this is the series for you. If obviously you're a better, especially if you're an underbacker, 0-3.
Right. And so, and you mentioned, right, in one of the big reasons too is the turnovers are a big problem. It causes the offense to just completely hit neutral. Ime Udoka, one more from him after the game, talking about the continued issues because the offense going cold has been a problem throughout the postseason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no question about it. So we are, by the way, we are still watching this golf. Will Zalatoris hits his birdie putt by. He will settle for par. JT with a birdie here on the 17th, so that will put him 2 under to the aggregate, 1 under for Will Zalatoris. Updated in-play prices, JT minus $5, Will Zalatoris plus $350.
So this is what?
This will be a par here at the par 417th. Because okay, Will drove it right, and then hit a nice little pitch, had a birdie attempt there, but JT, of course, drove the green 36 feet for eagle. That was basically a tap-in for the birdie putt, so JT looks like, and he's still got to make it, though, by the way, but you would think at about 2.5-3 feet that he is going to make it, but you never know. This is a major championship. I have seen guys miss, you know, 18-inch putts. And great players, and we saw that, I think it was Rahm at the Masters, you know, he missed like some kind of like less than a foot putt or something like that. So Justin Thomas, it is priced in the market that they believe he is going to make, but if he doesn't, that'll immediately disappear, and then the prices will change accordingly.
All right, so this is pretty big. We'll hold our breath for this one, mainly because, again, both of us have action here. Willie Z let me down. Come on, Will. I believed in you the whole way. Never gave up. Never did. Even when the lady on the book laughed at me and said, "You bet on Will Zalatoris?" And I was like, "Yes."
The
yes,
lady at the book laughed at you?
No, she didn't laugh. She was just asked, she's like, "Really? You're on Zalatoris?" And I was like, "Yeah." She's like, "He wasn't even on my radar."
They don't laugh at your action, JVT. They have like a little whisper thing there, like, "Oh, JVT is here. We better adjust these numbers right now."
All right. Hey, really quickly, guys, let's play Ime Udoka one more time about the stagnating offense, because this has been a problem for Boston throughout this entire postseason. Udoka made some comments about it, mentioned the turnovers as well. Let's hear from him after the game yesterday.
Turnovers is that's one part of it, obviously. We had 8 in that quarter, 8 of, you know, 10 at halftime. We said, let's clean that up, and we almost got our first half total in that quarter. And then defensively, not matching their physicality on offense. You know, we turn it over. It's obviously tough to get some of those stops. And when we do defend well in the half court, so leaking out, getting some easy baskets, but also just their physicality went up. And obviously they spoke up about being embarrassed and wanted to come out and prove something.
Yeah, and he mentions, alludes to it there. At the end of that first half, they actually go on a run, and they cut it to 15. And that was, I think, the agonizing part about Boston. When they were holding on to the ball and when they were actually running their stuff, when they were attacking the seams in the zone, when they were kicking it back out to open shooters, when they were doing what they were supposed to be doing, I don't want to say they looked like the better team, but they looked much better than they did when they were turning the ball over left and right and allowing Miami to get to that big lead.
Yeah, no question about it. By the way, not a very good game for Jason Tatum after he had that superstar performance before. And I think it's really become a top 10 player in the league. Would you agree with that, Jason Tatum, top 10?
Yeah, I mean, yes.
Not always quite up there with Giannis and the Embiids and the Jokic's of the world.
He's definitely, yes, he's one among the top 10 players in the NBA at this point. He's definitely become that. Should be a contender for most valuable player.
Yeah, it was Jaylen Brown that was carrying him last night, but just a bad game for Tatum. He had 6 of those turnovers. Jaylen Brown, for his own part, did have 7. And do you think that they just, I mean, how many possessions was Marcus Smart out last night when he left the floor?
It wasn't that many.
I didn't know how long he was out.
Because, it wasn't that long.
Because I was like, did that just throw him off of rhythm? Because every time I would look up, it's like they're throwing the ball away, this team.
Yeah, it was really bad. Like, and that's the irritating part about it. It was turnovers where Miami Heat defenders weren't having to move from their spot.
Mm-hmm.
It was, let me try to fit this lob pass into the low post where the guy's already being fronted, and he's bigger, by the way, already, and you can't get it over him. It was trying to sling a pass in the corner when a dude's just standing there, and he's just got to reach a paw out and snatch it, and then run in the run in transition.
Now, real quick question for you, because I think it's like minus 110 most places, but there are some even monies there on the Celtics. You think a fair price at this standpoint through game three? I took 120 after game one, and then I also have that Eastern Conference future I know you have, and you're sitting prettier than anybody with these NBA futures. But do you think, is that bettable, or do you think there's any value in that?
I do, and like we got reports today that Robert Williams is progressing. He's going to be fine. I mean, but then again, we heard that too, and then he still misses time here and there. I think if we know that we're going to get Marcus Smart, who is reportedly having some ankle swelling today, Robert Williams, who is having some knee issues too, if you're going to tell me they're going to be available down the stretch, then I think the Celtics are the better team. They can still win this series, and that is a better
number. Yeah, we were talking about that, too. It's like, I think they're better than this team, and I think that's just a really good matchup. And nevertheless, Miami up 2-1 going into game four.
Yes. All right. So as we were watching this final playoff hole, Will Zalatoris got to get something done. He's down by the stroke, so he has to find some magic. But it looks like Justin Thomas, I think, that drove him by just a scooch here.
Justin Thomas hit that cut shot there on 18, a beautiful
same
shot.
Same one as he did on the 18, right, to close out the
five
final
birdies,
round.
By the way, in his last 11 holes for Justin Thomas.
Damn, dude. You think he's won a major before? That guy looks freaking awesome, Justin Thomas. All right, we'll come back. We'll have the close of this. We'll have more on the NBA, where we're at this point right now. Throw a couple of other things about. Like, by the way, everybody was all pissed about these new trophies. We actually have odds up now on who's going to win Eastern Conference and Western Conference Finals MVP. There's a lot of fun stuff to bet on. Come back here on Hardwood Handicap.
Welcome to VSiN's Hardwood Handicappers. Now here's your host, Jonathan Von Tobel.
All right, last 30 minutes here on Hardwood Handicappers. We have gotten to the handicapping of the hardwood. Wes Reynolds is alongside too, by the way. Oh, thanks, buddy. I paused. I appreciate that. Answer the call, Cash, with DraftKings Connect, the Victory Challenge, sponsored by Verizon. Play for free in this 9-part prediction pool series and take your shot at grabbing a share of $45,000 in total cash prizes. Head to DraftKings.com/Verizon now to join the action. Verizon, America's most reliable 5G network. Terms and conditions and other eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. So we're on our final playoff hole. Justin Thomas setting himself up wonderfully to take this thing from Will Zalatoris. Look at this shot from Justin Thomas.
Yeah, and that's a very good one here. And look, all he needs to do is two-putt because Will Zalatoris going to – I think that went just a little bit off the green, so he's going to have a pitch. They just took the in-play wagering. I believe after Will Zalatoris' second shot, he was 11-1. Justin Thomas minus 2,500. So, look, Justin Thomas – overcame the bad weather draw too. Remember, he was 6-under par going into the weekend, and he's the one that had to play late on Thursday and early on Friday. That was the worst end of the draw and overcame that. I think combined for the two rounds, the other draw, the early Thursday, late Friday, played like two strokes better when you combine the two rounds than the other side. So Justin Thomas hung in there and grinded all day. I can't believe he was only 1.2% ahead and win this per Data Golf. That's unbelievable. And now just a couple putts away. And Bones McKay right there next to him, Phil Mickelson's longtime caddy who had been doing TV work and was happy doing TV work for NBC and Golf Channel. He said if there was one player I was going to come back for, it was Justin Thomas. And, you know, I think Justin Thomas kind of, you know, when he hadn't won a major in a few years, and you're such a talented player, he is one of the elite players in the world. And I would say, you know, I easily top five, even though he's just ninth in the official world golf ranking. But this is an elite player that's like, he should win more. He's got that one major. He's won 14 times on the PGA Tour, and he's not even 30 yet.
Yeah, this is honestly an incredible performance from Thomas, given everything that he has had to gone through throughout this entire tournament, the way he closed out this final round, and then to get to this point. And he's played these playoff holes like freaking perfectly. Mm-hmm. He has been incredible on these playoff holes. So Will Zalatoris looks like he's going to fall to 0-2 in playoffs this year. So that's going to be tough for him, especially coming so close to a major. But as you have said before, these guys are going to be right there. But we were talking about this off the air, kind of along the same vein of, you know, it looks like a Scottie Scheffler, for example. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Maybe this is the start of Scheffler not even sniffing another win on the tour, right, for a while.
Yeah.
Even though it looked like he was going to be, again, one of these dominant dudes for a really long time. Sometimes these guys just fall off the face of the earth. They get hot for a while, and then it just disappears and cools down, Brooks Koepka being one of those. So we were talking about this. He's got two PGA championships, two U.S. Opens, correct? Got that
yes.
right?
Yes.
And during his hot streak, the Westgate Superbook hung up that prop. 7.5 career major wins by 2040. That's how, like, that's it. In the moment, you think that 7.5, he's got 4. Because, it's going to be no problem.
Because that's what we do. We become prisoners of the moment. It's like, you know, a betting phenomenon we talk about every day. Bettors bet what they see last. You know, what's incoming? It's like, oh, man, this guy's going to be, you know, maybe the next Tiger. He's going to have like a 4 or 5 year run. And you never know. You just never know how many opportunities. If you would have told me, Justin Thomas, when he won that PGA at Quail Hollow in 2017, that he was going to have to wait till 2022 maybe to get his next major. If you would have told me that, I wouldn't have believed you, because I was like, okay, this guy's going to win one like every 2 years. And he's still just mine. Keep in mind, he's only 29 years old, as Will Zalatoris. Got to have this one, obviously.
The last gasp.
You don't want to leave it short.
He doesn't
leave it short. He does run it by, so he'll tap in for the par. So now Justin Thomas, 2 putts to win the PGA Championship and get his second PGA, like I said, 2017 at Quail Hollow, and get a major championship. Just stuck with it. And you know what? You got to give him credit, too, because when you're out of it and you feel like you're done and you just grind and you just grind and you just keep at it, that's being a fighter.
Yeah.
And that's what you're looking for out of the elite players, because we know with an iron and with the wedge in his hand, he's arguably the best in the world. Him and Colin Morikawa, probably the best 2 iron players in the world. But to fight like that, look, Rory McIlroy, you know, fought back early today and then kind of fell back. You know, it's just that one round took him out, because I had Rory at the Masters and he shoots a Sunday 64. So that's what separates, I think, the elite players. And that's what Tiger Woods, that's what made him so much better, I think, than all of his competitors, is that he never gave in.
Yep.
He never gave in. He would just out-tough you sometimes, you know? Like that playoff when he had it with Rocco Mediate at Torrey Pines at the U.S. Open. He's playing on one leg, and he's just so tough. And I think not a coincidence that Justin Thomas and Tiger are very close. They have a text chain with Freddie Couples. I know a couple others. They were talking about that earlier this week. Tiger's kind of been a little bit of a mentor to Justin Thomas, and obviously he is listening very well.
Yeah, to keep coming and coming the way that he did today. And to now be in this position to potentially win this major is going to it's freaking awesome. This was a great tournament, and golf won it today. Absolutely dynamic final round for the PGA and the PGA Championship. It steals the show on a Sunday. Hell, it stole an NBA show. We were supposed to talk about the playoffs today. Had all sorts
of
stuff.
Now watch that NBA game that we ignored. We finally get a good game because we've been bitching and complaining. It's like, when are we going to get that signature moment here for the NBA? We just haven't had it, except that Tatum turnaround that you talked about was obviously a really good one. But we haven't had those classic games just yet, as Justin Thomas is going to go ahead and tap in. He is your winner of the 105th PGA Championship. Justin Thomas, we'll see what the world golf ranking is in the morning. But right now, at least on top of the golf world, at least for today.
I can honestly say, because I just really got into golf like when we right around like 2014 or so, I can honestly say that was the greatest round of golf I've ever watched.
No, that was special. And to be 1.2% chance at the start of the day. Now, we talked about the books were putting out 33-1, and that's the respect for Justin Thomas.
And for those who don't know,
he shouldn't have been 33-1.
1.2% is about 83-1.
Yes.
I'd like to give you an idea.
But they ain't giving you that kind of cookie. So, Bones McKay, back in the winner's circle. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss. And the new boss is Justin Thomas here on this afternoon.
That was freaking awesome. All right. So, we are about 30 minutes. The NBA games always start late. 30 minutes away from tip-off between Golden State and Dallas. A very quick update. 2 3.5s have popped up on the board here.
Okay.
In favor of the Dallas Mavericks. And I got to tell you, Wes, at some point it is everything within me to not pull out the phone and take Golden State.
If that got to 4, which it's probably not going to do,
if
would
it
you
did,
bet
yes.
Golden State?
Yes, I would.
Because, one of those, by the way, BetMGM, I think it's 3.5. No, it's juiced to the other side, so you got to lay 115 on that spread. But, everybody's betting that trend. I don't know what to do necessarily with the total either. 218.5 down to about 216.5, a couple other. That number seems about right to me.
Yeah, I'll double-check something really quickly just to make sure. They were not missing anything. Andrew Wiggins listed as probable, so he's going to go.
Yeah, because we did see the 3, and on that reaction of the Wiggins news earlier today, I think I saw some 2.5s. And then, of course, that trend keeps getting bet, you know, team down 2-0. And that becomes such a narrative. It's kind of like the zigzag thing in the NBA. You know, yep. where it's like, if you're doing that long term, you're what, at about 50%?
Yeah, it's at 32-28 in this postseason.
Okay, so it's been a little bit better, but it's about, I think, taking it the last several years, about 50%. Obviously, when you're laying the 11-10, 50% is not going to make you any money. You got to be about 52.4.
Yeah, so you're at about 53.3 if you follow the zigzag the entire way. So you're up just barely. When it comes to following that trend at this point. But like when you're talking, so like this is the thing when it comes to like when we're talking about like up to four now, because if you measure out home court by the median result, home court in this postseason has gotten all the way up to the being worth about 4.5 points. Mm-hmm. So it's been really strong to play at home. But to your point, like if we're talking about like 3.5, 4, you're saying that the Warriors, the difference between these two teams, that the Warriors are either just a half point better than Dallas or they're equals. And this is a Warriors team that covered 5.5 and 6.
Yeah,
on their
I was
home
gonna
floor.
Say, what did they close in game two? Was it 6?
6. And you okay, could, yeah, and they were 6.5 at
yeah,
one. Point.
Because, yeah, because I took 7 on the bye minus $1.20. Don't know how I lost that game, but nevertheless I did. And,
yeah, right.
And yeah, because it's like, okay, what's home court default really in the NBA? And it hasn't, you know, it hasn't mattered certainly in the Boston-Miami series necessarily so far. But, yeah, that's a big number adjustment. That's an absolute way too big of a number adjustment. That's where you weigh the situation. And, you know, I'm more of a situation guy, and so is Matt Eumanns. And you're more of a numbers guy, especially in the NBA. So that's that conflict. There's more than one way to do this. So there's no right or wrong way necessarily. There's certain wrong mistakes that you shouldn't make, you know, like teasing through zero or something or doing something of that nature. But nevertheless, the number value is not there, and you're absolutely right, I think, to inform the audience of that.
Man, this is going to be wild if this gets all the way up to four. I don't think it is. There's just two spots.
I got to think that there's a buy point. Like, well, somebody's buy point is going to be 3.5.
And the two spots that are hanging 3.5 are books that tend to shade it in that direction a little bit more. Like, they're more public shops than anything else. So I don't think it's going to get to that point. But it is, again, wild just to see the way the market reacts. And watch what happens. After this game, you know, barring any injury or anything like that, this number for game four, I am willing to bet, is going to be like Dallas minus one. Mm-hmm. You know, barring anything shocking here for Dallas, we're going to talk about like 1.5 or something like that for Dallas. We'll see if that's the case. But home court has been strong. We'll give it that. And maybe that is actually going to play itself out. All right, we'll come back on the other side. Daniel Olivari is going to join us. It's Hardwood Handicappers. We have a lot to get to. There's a lot of strong trends in WNBA. And I got to give Daniel credit. I had her on the podcast right before the season started. Called out a team that didn't play that well last year, so you might want to watch out for them. Well, they were 5-1 coming into today, and 5-1 against the spread as well. Danielle joins us next.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to VSiN's Hardwood Handicappers. Now here's your host, Jonathan Von Tobel.
VSiN Summer Specials here for only, wow, $39. You're going to get everything VSiN has to offer from now to the end of July. Next few months are going to be filled with the best betting content in the business right here at VSiN.com. Subscribers are going to get access to all of it. That includes Adam Burke's daily Major League Baseball best bets. I've got best bets of the NBA Finals. Man, we're less than 2 weeks away from the start of the finals. Andy McNeil is going to break down all the action on the ice of the Stanley Cup playoffs, plus lots of NFL preseason coverage and more. If you want the full VSiN experience, features daily best bet email, every edition of Points Bet Weekly, and much more. The cost is only $39 to be a subscriber through July 31st. Sign up now, VSiN.com/summer. All right, bring in Danielle Alvari, who is nice enough to give us some time on this very busy Sunday. And Wes is sticking around because Wes is a WNBA fan, a big Indiana Fever guy, who unfortunately got pasted earlier today by a score of 92.
That's going to be a regular occurrence, by the way. They're going to be a fun team to watch, but they're going to take some
licking. I was going to say, they're plucky. You know, looking at their numbers, they're a little bit better than I think the record would indicate. But Danielle is with us. And as I was saying, Danielle, we were singing your praises a little bit earlier. I had you on the podcast right before the season started and asked you about some undervalued teams. You pointed at the Mystics potentially being one with some better health. And sure enough, coming into today, 5-1 straight up and against the spread. They lose, they don't cover against the Sky, but still a great start for the Mystics. And they seem to be just what you thought, an undervalued team coming into the season.
Absolutely. I mean, Elena Deladon wasn't really sure what to expect with her being out for so long. Really haven't seen her play since 2019, but I knew that was going to be a huge boost for this team. And it seemed like they weren't really sure what this team was going to look like when all the pieces were put together. It obviously came together for them. And it's interesting because they're just behind the Sun in their conference. And I actually think that I would rather take the Mystics versus the Sun in that situation. So I do still think that they're going to be a little bit undervalued because people are going to be so high on the Connecticut Sun. And I get it. The Connecticut Sun are incredible, but we also know that they're kind of the team that is at the top of those stat categories, but they don't necessarily deliver come playoff time. So I still need a little bit more from the Sun to be convinced that they can win a championship.
And on the Mystics too, one of the things that stuck out to me, best under team coming into today, another game goes under the total, best defensive team, our second best defensive team, one of the slowest paced teams. I would assume that this is something that continues.
Yeah, absolutely. What's really tough with this team, though, is that Elena Deladon has said that she's not necessarily going to travel every time. So you just have to pay such close attention to when she's playing and when she's not, because that just obviously affects the point spread so much. So that's the only thing that's been a little bit tough with handicapping this Mystics team. It's also really fortunate for them because they're having to play without their best player sometimes. And then that means that the other players have to step up and get a couple more reps. So I think it's going to help them long term for the full season, but it is something that's tough game to game.
Yeah, and opening night, I joined Danielle, by the way. She was on host My Guys in the Desert that afternoon. We were talking WNBA season.
Roll
and
back.
Washington. Yeah, Washington was kind of one of those teams that we said was going to be a wild card. Mike Thibeault, by the way, I think one of the best coaches in the league, and he's really good with young players, and he's going to have to be because of what Danielle mentioned in terms of Elena Deladon maybe not traveling on every road game. But one team that doesn't have a lot of young players but has a lot of veteran players but not looking very good right now are the Phoenix Mercury. Aside from the Brittany Griner situation, Danielle, do you see that this gets any better with a lot of veterans and a lot of championship experience on this team?
So it's exactly what you said, Wes. I love to bet on a veteran team. What's tough is there seems like a little bit of turmoil on this team. I don't know if you guys saw this, but Dana Taurasi and Skylar Diggins-Smith getting into it a little bit on the bench and their loss versus the Aces, a game that it seemed like they were going to be able to definitely cover and maybe even win, but then kind of fell apart in the second half. They also lost their coach, as we know, Sandy Brondello, to the New York Liberty in the offseason. I'm wondering how much of an impact that's made on their team as well. So Brittany Griner being wrong are gone. Skylar Diggins-Smith and Diana Taurasi arguing, and Skylar Diggins-Smith then sitting out with illness, which was really fun because everyone was tweeting she's sick of DT. But it just seems like there's a lot of turmoil going on that team. And of course, again, a new coach, a new situation. So I just think there's too many things that are going wrong for them right now.
And another thing with Phoenix, they also have a new coach. Danielle mentioned Sandy Brondello now in New York with the Liberty. It is Vanessa Nygaard. And Vanessa Nygaard, a Bill Laimbeer disciple. She was on the Aces staff here in Las Vegas. And we know Bill Laimbeer, we were talking about it during one of the breaks earlier in the show, loves to play through the post. And I think Vanessa Nygaard kind of wants to do that. You don't really have the personnel. Number one, you don't have Brittany Griner, who's still being detained, I think, unfairly over in Russia. But you've got all these guards that I think want to be pace and space. And that's just not a fit with Diana. So I wonder if this team
Tina
is
Charles.
Yeah, go ahead. They did get Tina Charles. But I think with the depth and whatnot, I just don't know what a fit this offense is with Diana, who, you know, we know what Diana wants to do. She wants to score the ball and she wants to shoot. But I wonder if this is a sell team long term, Danielle, or if they're going to finally figure it out.
Yeah, and side note too, it was funny, a friend was talking to me and I think just realized that Brittany Griner has been missing for 90 days and he's a big NBA fan and he was like, are you kidding me? If
right.
LeBron was detained for 90 days, you're telling me we wouldn't have this guy back here? So that's just absurd that it's been as long as it has. And the Bill Laimbeer thing is just funny too, because they had him on the broadcast, they had a thank you game for him recently and he said his favorite part of retirement is that he's not responsible for anyone anymore. But as it pertains to the Mercury, I agree, that's what she's going to want to try to do is run it through the post. They don't have that option right now and the Mercury are going to live and die by their three right now.
So let's talk about some other disappointing starts. New York Liberty looked like a team that had like some positivity going into this year. Better health, right? It looked like maybe they had some upside as well. But worst ATS record by percentage. They're 1-4 through five games at this point. Last in net rating by a mile. Last in offense. Like, how bad does this get? Is this the worst team? Do we continue to play against this team? Because the market clearly has not caught up to how poor they have been, and it has been bad.
So cover-wise, maybe worst team right now, but yeah. I don't think that necessarily will continue. So what's really nice is one of the guests I've been having on the LA CityCast, which you can check out wherever you get your podcast, is Miles Ehrlich, who's actually a writer who covers the New York Liberty. And so I asked him what's been going on with them, because since that opener, when they actually beat a really good team, they haven't been able to put it together. They didn't really have any practices. They had games back-to-back almost a day apart. And so they weren't really having any practices to kind of shore up what was going wrong for them. They also have Benai Gelani out with injury. And of course, if you're only having to rely on Sabrina Ionescu, that's pretty easy to kind of just focus on the one player. They've been really struggling in the post. They just absolutely have no presence there. And so it just seems like they need to kind of put a couple things together. Again, a couple players out with injury as well. So once they kind of get back to full strength and get a couple more practices under their belt, I like what Sandy Brondello did with them. We already saw a change for them in that first game. I think that's going to continue. So I don't think the rest of the season they're going to be a disappointment, but it's tough because you said who's the worst team. I think the Indiana Fever, but then they've been covering spreads.
Yeah, I mean, they're young and plucky. By the way, they did have six draft picks in the WNBA draft this year. Helps. So trying to get that turned around. Another team, Danielle, looking to turn it around. They did just get Kayla McBride back from Turkey, but the Minnesota Lynx, and I know this was an interesting team because Sylvia Falza's last year, Nafisa Collier, of course, about to give birth here this month if she hasn't already. So she's going to be out at least for the interim. How do you treat the Minnesota Lynx? Do you think that they're eventually going to figure that out? Because I was saying maybe this is a sell team for now, but could be a buy team later in the season when they get full strength.
Sure, I could see that. I mean, I don't like to bet against the Sylvia Fowles team ever. I learned my lesson on that last year, but the Lynx kind of seem like they're in panic mode, and I'm wondering if it's because it's Sylvia's supposed last year. I keep saying that because I keep holding out hope that she's going to cancel that out. I know how much she loves to play and how competitive she is. She just has other things she wants to do. But with that in mind, if this is her campaign kind of the end of the year, it seems like they're dropping pieces, picking new people up. They're really trying to piecemeal a team here together, and it's not very cohesive yet. You said they got Kayla McBride back. That's going to be a huge help. We already saw that lift for them. So yeah, maybe later in the season, but I don't know if they're going to figure this out. They kind of seem like they're flailing a little bit.
So let's talk about the cream of the crop then, or at least it seems to be. We've mentioned the Connecticut Sun a little bit. What about the Las Vegas Aces? I watch this team, Danielle, and I do see like Becky Hammons and the NBA type fingerprint and influence on this squad. Asia Wilson, they're not shooting a lot of threes, but she's shooting threes, trying to keep offenses, defenses a little bit honest. Their only blemish is a game in which they led by double digits against the Mystics. This team is leading the league in offensive efficiency. They lead the league in pace. This looks pretty like a modern NBA team almost to a certain extent. How good is this going to get for Las Vegas?
Yeah, I mean, they're the team to beat. They're 4-0 Commissioner Cup games. They have five players that are averaging double digits. Four of them have 14 or more per game. And then their top two scorers, Kelsey Plum and Jackie Young, nearly 20 points per game is what they're averaging. So they can get it done from anywhere. So how do you guard against that? I think it's going to be trouble for example, the Connecticut Sun, who's, I think, the leader in defensive rating right now. It's unbelievable what Becky's been able to do with them starting the season 6-1. There's just no weakness. It almost seems like they're also the healthiest team in the WNBA. They haven't been dealing with players being gone overseas or injuries really. And so for that, that's also an explanation for why they've started as strong as they have. So you could say, oh, if they get an injury, is that going to be a huge loss to this team? And it'll be interesting to see, because I do think that unfortunately they have a lot of depth. I don't know about bench depth, but I just mean on the court of those five starters, anybody can get it done.
All right, last 45. You got anything for tomorrow? Aces are going to take on LA in the Liz Cambage revenge game.
Yeah. Listen, I don't know what this line is going to be. I wonder if it's going to be something like double digits. Unfortunately, the Aces tend to be a little bit overvalued because of how good they are on the line. So my favorite thing to do is let them fall behind and come in on bet on them. I did that versus the Mercury on Saturday. They were down. I got the Aces money line at minus 115. And then, of course, they came back to smack that game. So that's my favorite way to bet Aces games, because the total tends to be inflated and also the line tends to be inflated. So do I want to bet on the Sparks against this Aces team? Not particularly. I might look for a spot on the Aces in game.
Even though Danielle and I do both stand for UCLA Bruin Jordan Canada, who is part of that Sparks roster. By the way, 10 here at Circa Sports. Aces tomorrow. Favorite tomorrow.
There you go. 10-point line. Danielle, good to talk to you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
You got it. All right. We're all done. It was a lot of golf on Hardwood Handicappers. Wes, appreciated.
Good to be with you, brother.
We're all done. You can find this up on visa.com/podcast. Runline coming up next.
Discover BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Sign up today and win $200 if you place a $10 wager on any NBA playoff game and either team hits a three-pointer, regardless of your bet's outcome. Simply use bonus code V.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.